Downloading 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott, Sean Preece, and Tim Schwartz.
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk. This is the technology show that eats other technology shows for breakfast. Yes, I'm Stephen Scott. Hello. And we have got my guests with us this week. As always, we have Sean Preece. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Stephen. I'm so happy to be here this week. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, I'm cheerful.
I kind of get that. I feel the same way. I mean, it's not that I don't enjoy coming here some weeks, but this week I'm really enjoying myself. I don't know what it is. Tim Schwartz is here as well. Hello, Tim. Are you happy?
I am happy. I'll be happier when I have breakfast, but I am very happy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I know. Well, you never get breakfast or indeed lunch or indeed anything with this program because you're too busy consuming the day's tech news, aren't you? Well, listen,
yes,
it is great to have you guys here again. Yes, we are happy this week. Do you know why we're happy? Because it's Valentine's Day this week. Oh, are we all set for it? Come on, Tim, tell me you've bought something lovely for Jennifer.
I have, absolutely.
Oh, right. Is that it? No more than that?
Is it a secret?
Well, she listens, so I can't really say.
Oh, she listens. Oh, she must truly love you.
She does, yes.
Mine never listens.
Yeah. No, my wife never listens either.
Well, you know, by listening, I mean I say, hey, the show is on. You should go listen to it. Let me turn it on for you.
Oh, yeah. Like that. Right. Okay. No. My wife listens occasionally. I remember once she said she's sort of gone through this thing where she was like, I'm going to listen to every show. I'm going to, you know, really invest my time in this. She got to episode 4 and said, ah, stuff it. You can't force people to listen, you know, but she might get back into it again. Once she finds out I'm talking about her, she will definitely be listening
exactly.
In, I guarantee it. But yeah, it is Valentine's Day this week, but we thought we'd ask ourselves here on the show if we love our tech more than we love humans. I think the answer to that probably is yes.
Definitely yes. There's no probably about it.
In most cases, yes. Yeah.
And if so, what is that tech that we love? So we're going to get into that discussion. Also, we provide you with a comprehensive guide to the best ways to contact and interact with technology companies if you have a disability. Really useful stuff coming up there. And Claire Potter is back with us with another list of Potter's picks, this time on the theme of both Valentine's Day and Pancake Day.
Oh, the things you love the most.
Yeah, which one do you love the most exactly? So
pancakes.
Obviously. and my wife, obviously. Right, so we're going to get started, and we're going to kick things off with something a little bit different. We normally get into a conversation, and then Sean will say something ridiculous, and then, you know, Tim will disagree, and then we'll get into a fight. And instead this week, I thought we'd do something else, which is we get right into one of our features this week. And this one came out because I just thought, last year we said on this program we were going to do more about technology. Not, you know, we talk about Apple smartphones, we talk about Android, we talk about Amazon Echoes and Google Home Minis and all that. But what I'd like to talk about is the technology that can take all these devices further. The smart tech that can make your home smarter and more accessible. And, you know, that is what our feature is called. And for that reason, guys, I've given it the title, 8 Ways to Make Your Home Smarter and More Accessible in 2018.
Catchy.
First up on my 8 Ways to Make Your Home Smarter and More Accessible in 2018 is a Ring Video Doorbell. Want to know who's at the front door without having to open it first? Well, the Ring Video Doorbell is a great way for you to stay safe at home and additionally keep your home safe when you're away. It's a replacement for your existing doorbell and has to be mounted to the wall outside your home. It can be set up to be powered by electricity or by batteries. That's your choice. The Ring Doorbell unit attaches to the mount that is screwed onto the outside of your house and is removable at any time. And you need this because you'll have to charge up the Ring device from time to time. Once installed, you download the Ring app on your smartphone and continue the accessible setup from there. Once complete, you can monitor who is outside your house at any time using Live View, which will show you a live picture with audio from the camera on the Ring device, and that works anywhere. Also, when someone comes up to your door and rings your bell, your phone will alert you that someone is there, and lets you answer the door like you would answer a phone call to find out who it is. Additionally, you can even find out through motion alerts if someone is hanging around near your home, even if they don't ring the bell. At that stage, you can also answer the motion alert, just like a phone call again, and ask the person why they're there. This often deters would-be burglars and makes them realise they're being watched. The Ring can also connect to an Amazon Echo Show if you've got one. It can also be viewed on your Fire TV. It doesn't currently work with Amazon Echo Dots or Echo Mediums or Bigs. However, I think that's partly because the whole point of Ring is the video function. The most important thing to know at this point is that for the Alexa features to work, the device you buy must be the Ring 2 doorbell. The original version, Ring, will not work with Alexa, but all the other features work. The price of the Ring 2 doorbell is roughly £180. Depending on where you shop, you can get the original Ring without the Alexa features for about £80 to £100. Let's move on to lighting, and there's a huge range of smart lighting out there, so it might be a bit daunting for you, and that's why I thought I would narrow your search a bit. I've looked at both Philips Hue and IKEA's Tradfree smart bulb range, primarily because being able to set these up myself independently was important to me. Now, the Philips Hue range is definitely the larger range between the two, with a wide gamut of choice in terms of bulbs, spotlights and strip lights. Colour is the big selling point here as well. You can have the lights become any colour you want, any mixture of colours or changing colours if that's what you like. And setup is fairly simple. There's a box that you plug into your router. It's called the Hue Bridge. There's an app that you download to set it up, which is very accessible on smartphones. And once the bulbs are plugged in where you want them, that's it. IKEA's Tradfree range is much simpler, but operates in pretty much the same way. You buy a hub unit called the Gateway, and you then download the Tradfree app, you follow the instructions, and plug in the bulbs where you want them. It's a really simple setup, and it's constantly expandable as well. Now, at the moment, their bulbs don't have many colour options. The bulbs give you the option to change the colour temperature in the white spectrum, going from a fairly warm light to cool white. I find that really useful when I'm working, because cool white gives the biggest and brightest light it can. Warm light is great for relaxing. If you've got an Amazon Echo or Google Home, you can control these lights using these devices as well. You just have to set up the IKEA skill on the Echo device, using the Alexa app of course, or set it up through Google's app, and you can ask your smart assistant to turn on your lights or dim them. As for costs, the Philips Starter Pack will cost you around £150, with additional bulbs costing from around £50. IKEA's Starter Pack, called the Gateway Kit, costs £65, with each additional bulb ranging from £7 to £15. Next up on my list is a TP-Link smart plug, which also has optional energy monitoring. So why would you want this? Well, I'm going to use my good friend Sean as an example here. Come over here, Sean.
What now, Stephen? What have I done?
Well, nothing, which isn't that unusual, to be fair.
Right, that's it. I'm away.
No. Come back. I want to tell my lovely listener why you bought the smart plug. Well, one of the reasons.
Oh, do you mean the fan?
Yes, you've got a fan in the house that when you're warm and sweaty and you can't be bothered getting up to even switch it on.
That's right, Stephen. I really am that lazy, and I see nothing wrong with that.
Yes, we know. So how did you set up the plug?
Okay, well, it's really simple and straightforward. So you plug in the smart plug into your electrical socket, download the app from the App Store. Then when you launch the app, you need to register, just an email and password. Then, like a lot of the other smart speakers and smart devices, you need to go to your Wi-Fi settings on your phone. And then in the list of networks, you will see the name of your smart plug. Double tap on it to connect to the smart plug directly, and then go back to the app. Once you're back in the app, it will ask you for your home Wi-Fi network password. Enter that, and you're done. The smart plug is now part of your home Wi-Fi network.
And then you just plug the fan into the switch and ask, you know who, to turn it on?
Exactly. You do need to enable the skill on the smart speaker, but that's pretty much it. And there you go, I've got myself a voice-activated lazy fan. If I do say so myself, it's genius.
That's one of many words I could use for it. Okay, thanks, Sean. You can get the TP-Link smart plug for around £30, or one with an additional energy monitor for an extra £5. Next up, it's the noise we love to hate. Yes, you hear it in the middle of the night, and it really does alarm you. As it should, of course. But for us blind folk, there are so many questions. Is there a fire? Where is it? And if it's not a fire, how do I stop that damn noise? Well, the Nest Protect smoke alarm advertises itself as thoughtful rather than smart. I like that. It's the only smoke alarm that can be silenced using your smartphone, so you don't need to try and find the button on the device to quieten it. It also speaks rather than just ringing, and can even alert your phone with all the information you need at that moment. It's got smart tech in it that lets you know of a problem before it becomes a major one. So let's say, for example, you want some toast, so you put it on and you leave the room. Nest Protect will give you a friendly nudge to let you know the toast has started burning before the toaster itself starts burning. And it does all this with a friendly and calm voice. Also, if you have more than one Nest smoke alarm, they all speak. So should the worst happen, the alarm in your bedroom will tell you that there's smoke downstairs. So you're in much more control of your situation and can keep safe until help arrives or know how you can get out of your house safely. As it's a smart device with many more features than a traditional smoke alarm, the price, of course, is a bit higher. You'll find it online for about £100, but do shop around. Okay, now this one sounds a bit bizarre, but it's actually quite simple. You've probably heard of robots for around the home already. Maybe the Roomba vacuum or the robot lawnmower. Well, this one washes windows. It's the Winbot X window cleaning robot, yes. Ultimate height of laziness. All you do is place a microfiber cleaning pad on the flat surface of the unit, switch it on, and then place it on the window and press start. And it just gets on with it. Aww. Hey, let's me catch up with my box sets. It does all the fancy stuff you'd expect, like work out how big the window area is using its fancy onboard sensors, and then intelligently detect and avoid edges while leaving the windows sparkling. And you can also use it on mirrors as well. And if you're super lazy and you want to control it from the couch, there's a remote for that. And yes, you guessed it, a version of this will soon be coming out with Amazon Echo and Google Home support. Cost of this is £270 at the moment, but hey, think of the savings when you sack the window cleaner. Also, another way to make your home smart is to install a smart thermostat. Now, the Hive heating system has been around for a couple of years now and allows anyone to control their heating either through a smart thermostat device fixed in the home or by your smart phone or smart device. It's primarily designed to help you cut down your electricity bills, the idea being if you've got more control of the heating while you're at home, you'll save money as you're not using the boiler unnecessarily. But for us blind people, it's much more than that. It lets us gain access to the timer that's often been very inaccessible, and the knowledge that the heating is on and, you know, that you're in control of that. And that happens thanks to the accessible app and website you can use to control the service. Well worth a look if you're considering upgrading your heating, and it works with most existing boilers. It comes in two flavours, standalone or purchased with installation. Now, personally, as I did, I'd recommend you get it professionally installed. I mean, I'm a techie guy, but I have no interest in messing around with boilers. Exactly. So you'll pay around £200 if you don't want the installation, and another £50 if you do. There's always deals on, so shop around. And finally on my list, this one is more of a coming soon and also perhaps a bit of fun. The Crock-Pot Smart Slow Cooker. Yes, you heard me right. The Crock-Pot Smart Slow Cooker. It's just like every other slow cooker out there. The difference with this one is it can be controlled by an app and even an Amazon Echo. The app lets you set timers, change the heat settings, and switch off the cooker if you think it's done enough. For most people, these are just silly little add-ons. But again, for blind people, this can be life-changing. Most of us have no idea what the buttons on our kitchen devices do. This lets us access them. Now, it's only available in America at the moment. Calm down. More on Tech Talk, I promise, when it lands here. Although I guess it won't land for a while. It is a slow device, after all. And that's your 8 things that can make your home smart in 2018.
As ever, Stephen, interesting stuff. I just love all this smart stuff. You know, it's so futuristic. It's so gadgety. I just love it. I am a geek. But talking of loving it, let's talk about the tech we love.
Tech we love. That's a hard one. Tim, what tech are you in love with?
Oh, well, let me count the ways. So much tech that I love. But for this conversation, you know, Stephen, I have to go with my Apple Watch. Now, I still just have Series 1, so I don't have the newest, greatest version yet. I'll probably get whatever they have come out later this year, but I love my Series 1 Apple Watch. I can get any notifications that I need, track my health and fitness and exercise, play or pause podcasts or music on the go just right from my watch without having to pull out my phone, having it used with my Bluetooth devices. So yeah, really, really love everything with my Apple Watch.
A Series 1, really, Tim? That's basically a sundial. Now, come on. You're meant to be...
It's not that bad.
You're a host on a very popular tech show, even if I do say so myself, and yet a Series 1...
The world's finest.
Yeah, exactly, Stephen. And a Series... You're basically letting us all down.
Well, Stephen has mentioned to you and I that he's not using his Series 3, so, if he'd like to have it be utilized and... tested.
I'm first on the list.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I mean, you're not, well, you don't have one, I guess. So I guess you would get dibs, but I'm
correct.
More than happy
and
to.
And the postage will be less.
Well, this is true. But I'd be more than happy to try it out.
Can I just say on that, actually, I did mention on another podcast that I don't use my Apple Watch. In fact, I put it in the drawer for a while. I did take it out, and this is going to sound so superficial, but I did bring it back out. Because I bought a new band for it. I didn't like they call it the Fog Grey band. Which
that sounds attractive.
It really is not. And it's so bland. I mean, it's blander than the blandest thing you can think of, and then double it. And I thought, I want something more me, or at least not Fog Grey. And I got a Midnight Blue one. Because I like the name Midnight Blue. I just something about it. I don't really understand colours because I'm colourblind, but I love the name. So Midnight Blue.
This is making no sense. Just keep the grey one and call it Midnight Blue.
No, exactly. That doesn't work for me. Doesn't work for me. No. Doesn't work. Because I know it's a lie and I don't live a lie. So I've got that back out and I am using it again. And I have to be honest, part of the reason I started using it again as well was because, like you, Tim, I bet... When you don't use it, you start to miss all the notifications and all the things that you get with it.
Yes.
You start to look for them. You know, it's almost, oh, hang on. You know, and I realize because I use a phone for work and my own phone. And because of that, I can link them both so that if my phone rings, no matter which phone rings, it will tell me. And I love that feature. You know, I love the way that it all connects together and it is actually a really good device. But anyway, yes, this is your choice.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree, Stephen, that if I were to go a day or so without the Apple Watch, I do miss it. I do miss getting the notification, especially when my iPhone isn't around, being able to check things quickly on the go. Just so many different things that I use it for. Even just simply being notified to stand every hour, you get aggravated at first, but it becomes part of your routine. It just becomes part of your day somehow. And
you're brainwashed.
They're brainwashing me. Apple and Tim Cook have brainwashed
Stand
me. They're training me. Exactly. But it becomes part of your just daily life. And I have other alerts that I do rely on with my Apple Watch. So just those alone, I would miss if I wasn't wearing the watch. But then all the other functionality that it offers, like I said, being able to listen to a podcast, just tuck my phone away and have my Bluetooth headset on or headphones on and control it from the watch, or answer notifications, answer phone calls, and not have to worry about finding my iPhone. So yeah, it may seem like a unnecessary peripheral, but when you start using it, you find that it really, really does help out a lot.
Yeah, I laugh at Sean. Oh, yeah, you're so sucked into this world, Tim. Oh, yeah. If he had won, he'd be standing to attention every single hour.
Yep.
I didn't say he was sucked into the world. Did I mention that? No, you're putting
you
words
said
in my
brainwashed.
Mouth. I did.
Yes, you did.
Okay, yeah. No, look, again, I've said this before. I would love one, hint, hint. I would love an Apple Watch. But I don't know. Unless you've actually got one, I can't think of, the notification things. I ignore most notifications anyway, as Stephen will and Tim will know.
Oh, yes.
So I don't feel the need for it. If I had one, I'm sure I would love it like Tim. But at the moment, until someone gives me one for free, then I can live without it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, you'll have to work on that, Sean. Yeah, exactly. You'll have to work on that, Sean, because I did see a report the other day that 90% of the world's smartwatches are Apple Watches, and there's more Apple Watches out there right now than Swiss watches. So it's definitely been very popular, apparently.
Well, that's okay. I don't have a Swiss watch either, so I'm okay.
Here's an interesting thing, though. I've been reading a lot of the forums on Microsoft's blog, and actually we're talking later about the different resources that are out there for people to use. And one of the resources I found, which I immediately found useful, was the Microsoft Accessibility blog. And there's a Google blog as well, which is for eyes-free, they call it, and it's all about Android. And one of the big topics on there at the moment is around Android smartware, or Android Wear, I think they call it, actually. And it's the watch version of their Android software.
Yeah.
And that's quite interesting because I didn't think any of that was accessible, but I've been reading on these forums that some of the watches are. So, you know, I think it might be time for us to look at other options when it comes to smartwatches because, you know, the Apple Watch is great, but it's not the only show in town. And it would be quite nice to see if there's any others out there that could match in terms of accessibility. I think it might be early days, but, you know, if there's options out there, it'd be good to know about them. So, you know, maybe you use a smartwatch that's not an Apple Watch that talks, then tell us about it, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Right, Sean, what's the tech you love then? Go on then. And by the way, iPhone's not allowed. You're not allowed to say iPhone.
That's exactly what I was thinking. When we're talking love, you know, real, deep, sincere love, it's got to be the iPhone. But apparently I'm not allowed that. That is forbidden.
Nope.
Forbidden love. So another one. Okay. But this is probably going to be a bit obvious. I'm going to get shouted down. But I really use this technology so much and it's just really useful and I really enjoy it. It's a smart speaker. Now, I'm not coming down on either side here. I'm not saying the Amazon Lady A or the Google Home because I do use them both. They're both really good. And not only that I use them, it's not just a geeky, techie, nerdy thing. The whole family uses them. And, you know, once that happens, you know that that's a sign of good tech. The main use for me is playing podcasts and radio. You know, it's so accessible. It's so much easier than a DAB radio, which was always a bit of a pain when it came to accessibility and the prices of them. The whole voice platform is amazing. I just think it works so well. Timers, alarms, all that stuff that isn't very sexy and interesting. It's just so useful. So music, podcasts. And now once you start getting into the smart home side of things, you know, fantastic, being able to turn heaters on and off, fans on and off, and use infrared Harmony Hub to change channels and things like that. That does start to get a little bit more technical and a little bit more complicated, but still, the actual interface, just using your voice, is amazing. And I just got to say, I love them. I love them. There, I've said it.
Okay, fine. All right. Well, if you want to hear mine, mine's is the BT Whole Home Wi-Fi. And you'll think, hang on, what? You know, seriously, gadget you love in 2018? This is it, you know, considering everything that's out there. I have to tell you, I've got to tell you, I had real problems with my Wi-Fi at home. Clearly, my house is too big. And, you know, real problem. But, you know, couldn't get Wi-Fi from one end of the house to the other. And even sitting next to the router, I couldn't get a decent signal from my router at all. So I thought, this has to be fixed. There must be a way to resolve this. And I found the BT Whole Home Wi-Fi kit. I got it for about £190. It's basically three discs that connect up. One of them connects to your main home router. So in my case, I actually have a BT router. So I connected it to that. And then this disc then connects to the next disc and the next disc. And it expands your Wi-Fi out around the house. And, you know, where I was getting 16 megabits before, and I should be getting 75, although they say that, you know, you get 75 meg, nobody gets 75. Yeah, right. But, you know, they say that. But, you know, I was getting 16 standing next to the router and about three at the other end of the house. And now I get 70 meg everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's instantly made such a difference. And I cannot tell you, it makes you feel like you've spent money to almost use what you already have in a way. But actually what's great about it is it does allow you the opportunity to really utilize that internet wherever you are in the home. It is a brilliant piece of kit. And if you're looking to expand your Wi-Fi network or improve it, then I would definitely recommend one of those. So that's mine.
Well, I bought the Netgear Orbi and you said, I'm going to get one of those, Sean. But no, you went for the cheaper and, by the sounds of it, better option. Why did you go for that rather than the Netgear?
Well, the reason I did that was because I read reviews, which you didn't, clearly.
No. Nope.
I read the reviews that said the Netgear Orbi was the most amazing thing in the world. And that's fine, but then you have to read, you know, the reviews about the other kit, and I did, and it said that the BT Whole Home Wi-Fi was brilliant. Didn't have as many features as the Netgear Orbi, but one of its key strengths was the speed. And that's all I'm interested in. I don't care about fancy features. I'm only interested in getting the best Wi-Fi. Once these things are set up, that's it for me. So, you know, the BT Whole Home Wi-Fi gave me the opportunity to expand the network, give me the speed I want wherever I am without any hassle, and that suited me to the ground. So, you know, and you get three discs in the pack as opposed to the Netgear Orbi, where you get one main unit and a satellite. Although, I have to say, on a par, they're both probably exactly the same in terms of all the other features. They're very good systems. The Netgear Orbi might be a little bit more settled into itself. BT Whole Home Wi-Fi is fairly new. But in terms of speed, this one, on the reviews anyway, seems to win.
Well, that's what it comes down to, though, isn't it? I mean, if it's a stable connection and it's fast enough, then who cares? Like you said, it's set up and forget about it. So as long as it works, it's all good. Yeah, so it's a good option.
Okay, so we're going to leave that for now, but we're going to bring on Claire Potter now. Claire, of course, does our Potter's Picks, and she wants to mix up Valentine's Day and Pancake Day, my two favourite things. Claire, how are you doing today?
Hi, Stephen, I'm really good. And I have to pick up on something that you just said. Oh. And that is what I'm doing. I know you are in trouble.
As usual.
On the theme, yes and no. We're not having pancakes because there's just no accessible way of making pancakes. I've asked people, nobody's come back to me. So unfortunately, I can't really find an accessible way, which I can tell you about, to make your pancakes. But if you know different ways that might work for you to make accessible pancakes, please do get in touch, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, and we can hopefully get something together.
Brilliant. Well, on that case then, and I feel thoroughly admonished, let's turn to what you do have on your Potter's Picks this week then. So I'm guessing it's all around Valentine's Day. What's your first one?
Okay, so my first one, if you want to stay in and chill on Valentine's Day, which, let's face it, in this weather, who wouldn't? We all want to just stay inside, don't we? One thing that you might want to consider is a Netflix subscription. So this is, of course, the subscription which allows you to access thousands, and I mean thousands, of films and TV shows. And it also has a dedicated section for audio description. So this one works on all the platforms that you can possibly think of. So obviously you've got things like iOS, you've got Android, you've got Amazon Fire as well. Works really well on that. The price is $5.99, and I believe you also get your first month free. So, all the more reasons to get Netflix in time for Valentine's Day.
So hang on. So what you could do here, guys, think about this, right? So Tim and Sean and I could go out, we could get a subscription to Netflix, could sit down with our partners, and we could say, oh, darling, I've got us a lovely film to watch tonight. And you know in your head it's costing you nothing, because as long as you cancel the subscription before the month runs out, you don't pay a penny.
Oh, free, the perfect gift.
Stephen's favourite price.
Oh, huh? That is amazing.
Oh, Stephen!
Right, what's number two?
Okay. Right, number two is the Gosspire Magnifying LED Mirror. Now, this one...
Is that Sean laughing? Are you laughing?
No. I just, you know, a magnifying mirror is something that I just think would be fantastic. I'm just looking it up now. I'm ordering.
Right, okay. So, whether you're a man or a woman, this is for you for Valentine's Day, because if you are going out for a meal, because some people might want to do that, it's always important to make sure that, especially on that special occasion, you look good. So, it provides 1x magnification, which I believe is just standard magnification on a mirror. And then you also get 10x magnification, and it's fully adjustable as well. And you can actually turn it around. So if you have trouble seeing certain things, then you can turn it around and it might make it a little bit easier for you. So it's perfect for a range of beautifying tasks. It's actually got 16 LED lights. To make it a little bit easier to see things. And it works with 4 AAA batteries, so quite simple.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, so how much? Where from?
Right, so this one is from the store which begins with A and ends in N, and it's online and sells everything that you can possibly think of for Valentine's Day and all other occasions. And it's actually on offer at the minute at $29.99.
Bargain. Absolute bargain. Sean, you're laughing at all this, but you know, Sean, you could do with a mirror, let me tell you.
If anyone needs beautifying, it is definitely me. I'll hold my hands up.
No, this is great. I mean, you know,
imagine, thanks for being honest.
I mean, let's be honest about it. A lot of partially sighted people out there who, you know, want to do the makeup or whatever, and, you know, they find it quite difficult. You know, I know my wife does sometimes have difficulty with it. So, you know, something like this could actually be really useful. I might get this for her. She might like this. What have you got in for number three, Claire?
Okay, so, again, staying at home. To go with that movie that you might be watching or that special TV show, you might want to consider a really nice snack for it to go with your movie. This item is the Andrew James Popcorn Maker. Okay, so it uses hot air circulation to create great tasting popcorn. You can either keep it simple with your flavours, so you can either keep it sweet or salty, or you can go crazy, and I mean crazy, with your own flavours. So on Valentine's Day, why not? All you have to do to make it taste really nice is just add a little bit of oil and it does the work for you.
This is definitely one for Stephen. I can, you know.
I was going to say this is definitely one for you, Sean.
No.
But yeah, Stephen,
come on. This is you. This is.
Well, I'll get one.
Yeah. I'll get one.
Yeah. That sounds quite good. Right. So how much we're from?
Okay. So this one is £59 from the shop, which begins with A and ends in N and sells everything online.
Brilliant selection again, as always, for Potter's Picks this week, Claire. Love the theme. And we shall catch again next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephen.
Right, guys, time for this.
News from the internet.
And this week's news kicks off with a big story from the internet that we were really excited about. As soon as I saw the headline, I think we were all texting each other saying, oh, finally, here it is. It's here. Orbit Reader, available in limited quantities from APH, the American Printing House for the Blind. Not available in the UK. Oh, when is this thing ever going to appear? What is going on with this Orbit Reader? I'm learning Braille, and I will be able to not only read Braille, but, you know, present a presidential address reading Braille by the time this thing launches where I am. Anyway, it's not to be, which is a bit of a shame, here anyway. But if you're in the UK, Tim, you could buy one.
I could buy two, because they are limiting you to two per purchase. And here in the States, I believe they're selling for $449 US, I believe is the price. And and actually where American Printing House is only a couple hours away from me, so I could probably go pick it up. But it is available. It's nice size. It's compact. From everything that I'm hearing so far, it's living up to the hype, but it's still just elusive, you know, most places. So we'll have to wait and see.
Oh, isn't that incredible, though? I mean, that price for a Braille display, and like you, Tim, I've heard people say that the Braille display is so crisp and nice, and yet you can't get hold of them. It's driving me crazy. We need more information on what actually is the problem with them, you know, getting these things out there, because they sound exactly what we've been waiting for years. Well, we have been waiting for years, but
literally, yeah.
You know, it's the ideal thing for a good price, but we can't get hold of them.
Yeah, so there you go. That's that.
Sorry.
Something else we can't get a hold of for much longer, it seems. Wiley Fox make a smartphone, a couple of smartphones, actually. And I know that Comp Room Services, Steve Nutt over there, used to sell them quite regularly and always used to tell me that it was a great Android phone, primarily because of its price and because it always tended to run the latest and basic version of Android. So, you know, it wasn't a created version for that particular smartphone. It was just stock Android, as they call it, and it was a really good device. Unfortunately, Wiley Fox, not so wily anymore. The company has entered administration, so that's that, unfortunately. British company. But it says in the article I read on Tech Radar that that's it. It's no more. But they are looking for investors to come in. So might not be the end, but we shall see. It's an interesting time for these phone makers, isn't it? Because, you know, I guess they can't all be profitable all the time.
Well, especially with Android, the handsets, there is a big push towards the that sort of price range, you know, £100, around there. It's such a crowded market. But it is a shame, you know, being a British company. And like you said, it's always been recommended among the VI community. So it's definitely sad to see that go if it does end up going.
Some new voices could be coming to Amazon Alexa, the Echo. And of course, Tim, you, I imagine, being an American, you'll be a huge fan of the Super Bowl. Are you?
You know, in recent years, I'm not as much of a football fan as maybe I once was, do some fantasy football, but the Super Bowl is something different, and it's you know, it's a special show to watch, but ultimately still, I like it for the commercials. I have to admit, I definitely like it for commercials.
Well, that's exactly what a lot of people have been watching it for. I mean, that and going along for the food, because let's be honest, it's just an excuse to eat.
Exactly.
You know, any sense. But yeah, the commercials were interesting, and there was one that came up. It was a very short commercial. It felt as if, and I didn't see it in situ, so I don't know if you did, Tim, but it felt as if when people were talking about it, as if it should have been a longer commercial. It seemed to just stop, and the commercial was basically suggesting it was a story where the Amazon Echo had lost her voice. She was no longer able to speak. And there was a whole thing about get the replacements ready was in the ad. And the suggestion is that there may be some new voices coming. Any more on that from what you're hearing, Tim?
You know, I haven't heard anything more specifically on that, although I thought the marketing was brilliant, because that morning, as a lot of people know that have Echo devices, if you say to your Amazon Echo, good morning, she does say something different every single day, kind of like the Google banners on Google.com. And that morning, she sneezed and was acting like she was getting a cold or was allergic to the playoff season. And I'm like, well, that was kind of weird. That was odd. It was just kind of out of place and it didn't make sense. Until that night when you saw the Super Bowl commercials and she's getting sick and losing her voice. And yes, like you said, all these celebrities were taking over for her, which as the series of commercials went on through the evening, they had additional ones, additional celebrities, and switched them out. And it was really some interesting marketing. And so far, I haven't heard anything more as far as new voices, but I think it is something that's possible. We've seen Google do this with their Waze app on smartphones, incorporating different voices. So I think it's just a matter of time that Amazon does this with Alexa.
Okay, another story which I spotted this week, and I thought this is great, although the headline should have given it away. NVDA users rejoice. Firefox 58 is now available and includes many accessibility improvements. Now, I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. Firefox became almost unrecognizable to screen readers, or unusable certainly, by them because of problems or ways they had built the new version of the software. It just wasn't working with accessibility. So I was really excited to read that Firefox 58 was coming out with improvements. However, reading through the article, it's clear if you are using NVDA like you are, Sean, then that's going to be fine. If you're using JAWS like me, and I know you do it at work, Tim, Firefox still going to be a bit elusive. But good news, Sean, overall, I guess. It's a step in the right direction.
Well, exactly. And this fix came out a lot sooner than people expected, because they said, look, this isn't going to be a quick fix. We've totally restructured the way that Firefox uses accessibility APIs. So this is going to be a long, long run before we get, you know, it fixed. And yeah, the NVDA side of it was fixed really soon. I was sort of like you, Stephen, when it said NVDA, I just sort of assumed, oh, well, that they must just be saying that, but they mean that all screen readers probably now work with it. But they definitely mentioned that, no, specifically Freedom Scientific's JAWS screen reader, there's still an issue there. They're working on it, but only NVDA. So it's a lot better than it was.
Yeah, it is interesting. When I saw this report, like you guys, I was skeptical, surprised, but ultimately, it's interesting that you're expecting JAWS, Freedom Scientific, to really be the first one that would have been able to get this corrected, and NVDA just comes up out of nowhere and takes care of it right away. So I'm happy to see it. Hopefully, Freedom Scientific will get on board here soon. But it's just reassuring to see that you know, they are working on these kind of things when they come up and taking care of it.
Okay, well, that's the news. I want to move on to resources. Now, I must admit, when I hear the word resources, I tend to usually think I'm about to fall asleep. But this one's rather interesting. At least I hope it is. Otherwise, I've wasted my time. Basically, what I'd like to do is present some of the different ways that you can get information from and contact support within large technology organizations. Because not a lot of them now are attempting to reach out to the disabled community, which is great news. You might not realize it, but there is a lot of support out there if you are having problems with your computer. All the big tech companies are now setting up disability support lines or email addresses that you can get in contact with and get direct support, which is fantastic news for us blind and partially sighted people. Google is first up on our list. They've set up an email address, disability-support-external@google.com. Now, that email address is manned most of the time, but they do say you should receive an answer within 72 hours. They also tell us that you can only send emails in English. So if you are from another country and you want to get in touch and don't speak English, then that might be a problem at the moment. That is something that will be changing soon. That email address again, disability-support-external@google.com. If you've got an issue with your Android phone, an issue with the Chrome browser, a Chromebook, or even just the Google website itself that you're having issues navigating, then use that email address and they will get back to you. You can tweet the team as well at Google Access on Twitter. And Google have also set up support through online communities, and these are really, really useful. Search Google for Google Groups Eyes Free for Android products and their accessibility. There's a general Google Accessibility Inquiries group as well. It's called Accessible Community. If you search for that, you'll find it. And Google also share all their latest accessibility news on a blog called, unsurprisingly, the Google Accessibility Blog. And for all things Android and accessibility features, check out the Google Accessibility website. It is nice and easy. You'll find it google.com/accessibility. On to Apple, and they have an email address and a phone number, which is great. So Apple, to get in touch with them on email, if you have any issues with your iPhone or your iPad or your MacBook, then you can get in touch, accessibility@apple.com, as simple as that. Or you can call them in the UK on 0800 048 0408. That's 0800 048 0408. And you can find out all about Apple's accessibility options and features at apple.com/UK/accessibility. Don't forget that Apple also run various sessions on accessibility in store. They are a bit few and far between, but they do come up. Check out apple.com/UK and sign in with your Apple ID for more details. Now, Microsoft have also set up their own accessible line. A couple of things you can do there. You can call them, you can also chat online, and you can email. The email address is edad@microsoft.com. That's edad, E-D-A-D, at microsoft.com. There's online chat available 24/7, which you can get on the Microsoft website, which is microsoft.com/accessibility, or you can call the dedicated accessibility phone line on 0800 026 0584. That's 0800 026 0584. There's also a Microsoft accessibility blog. Google it, that is where you'll find it, under that name. They also run a feedback forum. You can find that by searching for Microsoft accessibility feedback. And let me tell you, they love hearing your feedback. So do get in touch. And don't forget, everything you need to find out about all of that is available at microsoft.com/accessibility. Finally, Amazon. Now, they have a blog that they post all kinds of information on, including accessibility news. You can search for that. It's called Amazon Day One. If you want to feedback to Amazon about accessibility and Kindle ebooks, well, the email address there is kindle-accessibility-feedback@amazon.com. That's kindle-accessibility-feedback@amazon.com. Or if you have views or questions about the Voice View screen reader on Kindle Fire devices, email device-accessibility@amazon.com. Good luck.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Yes, time for your emails again, and we're going to start with Stephen Campbell, who's got in touch. Hi, Stephen. He's got my name, although he spells it differently. He spells it P-H. Oh, I just thought I'd mention it. So
And somehow he made it to the first email out of the bag.
How does that
favoritism
work? I know. Hi all, using Just Press Record, and I can't find where the email option is in the app. Could you tell me what it is, please? Also, could you ask the developers in Scotland to please add OneDrive support? Great show, people. Stephen Campbell. Well, Stephen, thank you for the email. So, when you're using Just Press Record, because Tim and I use this, what you have to do is when you record a track, and Tim, tell me if I'm right here, you record the track, and then you have to go to the time or the more option, I think it is, and it will then let you share from there. So you almost have to open up the individual recording, and then that enables or brings up the share button. Is that right?
That's exactly right, Stephen. Just like a lot of other apps, you have to be in that recording itself, and then in this case, find the more button. So you would think there'd just be a share button right there on the screen, but you have to go to more and then find the share to bring up that share sheet that'll offer the options of messaging or, you know, tweeting it or emailing it and all those kind of things. Very similar to if you use the podcasts app, you have to go to more first and then find share. So it is in there. It's a little hidden, but you definitely can do it.
And OneDrive support, now, is that not relevant to the device itself? Because when you get the share audio button, which you'll find, once you've hit share audio, it will ask you if you want to share audio. You say yes, you double tap on that, and then it will bring up the options. I would have thought that the OneDrive option would be amongst that somewhere if it's enabled or it's installed on your phone.
If you have OneDrive installed on your phone as an app, it should be there. If it's not, go to the bottom of that share sheet, not to where it says cancel, but there should be a more button even within the share sheet. And when you go into more there, you should be able to then see some other available apps that you can add to that sheet. And OneDrive should be there. If it's not, then yeah, maybe it's worth contacting the developers just to make sure. But if it's not in the main list of things you can share, you should be able to go to more and find it to add it to that list.
Thanks, Stephen, for the email. I hope that helps. Now, Gordon Anthony has been in touch. He says, hi, guys. I just wanted you to know how much I appreciate your podcast. Even some of the little things you say in conversation have persuaded me to try new things. For example, thanks to Tech Talk, I discovered the Dot to Dot podcast, which has really helped me find new ways of using my Echo Dot. Then I heard you mention Apple Pay and how easy it was. I'd been a bit skeptical, but that was mainly because I didn't understand how it worked. I got some sighted help to get it set up, and I now love it, and I use it everywhere I can. And finally, after hearing about them, I decided to try a portable Bluetooth keyboard to help me with my social media posts. Single-digit typing via VoiceOver whenever I wanted to post anything on Twitter or Facebook was not only slow, but my fingertips were getting sore. Now I've got a keyboard and I love it. So while I enjoy the in-depth features you provide, I do learn things from you all the time. Can't thank you enough. Regards, Gordon. That's a nice email.
Oh, that was really nice. Thank you so much, Gordon.
Yeah, it's a great email. Thanks, Gordon. Glad we can help.
Michael Brown's been in touch as well. He says, hi, guys. I enjoy listening to the podcast each week. Lots of interesting tips. There was a query on one of your shows regarding using the Calibre app on the Android system. Now, it is possible to do what the other contributor who emailed in wanted to do, which was to fill in the username and password fields. There were some issues using TalkBack on that, but apparently, according to our listener this week, Michael, he says it is possible, but actually TalkBack has to be disabled and you use the built-in voice on the app itself, and then you can enter the membership number and password. Interesting. Maybe that's the way around it.
But I would have thought that Calibre, because all of the emails we've got said that they've ran Calibre support and Calibre are just saying it works with Android. Now, I would have thought if that was the case that Calibre would say, well, turn off TalkBack, which in itself can be an issue on Android, turning off TalkBack and then getting it back on with outside assistance. So, it's a great tip. But if that is the case, then Calibre support really should be putting that information out there.
Yeah, it could just be a bit of miscommunication or a bit misunderstanding there somewhere.
Yeah, by definition, maybe that's what Calibre meant, was it does work with Android, quote-unquote, out of the box. So they're not even thinking maybe that you're using TalkBack, although it sounded to me as though that had been part of the conversation, that they knew the person was using TalkBack. So yes, if this is the case, if this is that simple of a fix, then Calibre does need to make sure they're letting people know that this is the way to get around it by turning off TalkBack.
And Michael's using a Samsung J5 phone, so you know it's that would be a fairly standard Android device, I would have thought. He says it might be different on other devices, but the problem doesn't happen on the iPhone with VoiceOver. Hope this information is of help to you. Keep up the great work. Regards, Michael Brown. Well, thank you, Michael. That is a very useful email, and I'll be interested to hear from others. Do let us know if that solves the problem, because if it does, then that will solve it for others as well. So that's great. Email from Billy Burrell, who's been in touch. Haven't heard from you in a while, Billy. Hi, hope you're well. Hi, Stephen, Sean and Tim. I just wanted to say welcome to Lydia, the newest member of the Tech Talk team. If you were likened to the Spice Girls, I think she could be posh to your old and scary. You decide which is which. Right.
Okay. That's both of us. We're both old and scary.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously, though, he says, I recently listened to Stephen's demonstration of the Amazon Kindle HD Fire tablet and was very impressed with the new gestures which have been added. The demo, as all of the demos featured on your podcast are, very well presented and easy to follow, and it has made me seriously consider buying one. I want money out of this. he says... He says, however, there are a number of books that I've only been able to find in ebook format, and I wondered if you find or think that the voices on the tablet are suitable for this purpose. I've tried to listen to ebooks on a device before and found the synthetic voice to be too robotic, if you know what I mean, to listen to for any length of time without it spoiling my enjoyment of the book. I look forward to hearing your response to this, and as always, the next podcast. Keep up the great work. Regards, Billy Burrell. Thanks, Billy. Yeah, I think this is an interesting point, actually. Synthetic versus real voice. You know, I remember having this conversation about 5 years ago with someone, and I always said I would never listen to anything with synthetic voice, and that's changing. And I have to say, with the Amazon Kindle, and maybe I should do a bit of a follow-up on that for next week, where I talk about how to use the reading functions of the Kindle Fire, because personally, and I mentioned this on the show before, I really like the voice that's on the Amazon Kindle Fire, and for reading and listening, it's actually quite pleasant.
I don't know. I'm with Billy on this one. I cannot listen to a book with the speech synth. I don't know what it is, the lack of emotion or inclination. It just, it drains me. Now, going back to the newsstand on the Amazon, it's fantastic. And as I said, I have used it for a few magazines. For the short articles and things are absolutely fine, but for something like an ebook where you're trying to get drawn into the story, you know, that's where I think speech synths fall down. It doesn't matter how good the voice is.
You know, guys, I kind of see both sides on this, because I'm mostly an audiobook snob when it comes to this, because I really prefer hearing a human voice, hearing that emotion and listening to, you know, just the storytelling behind that. And it's hard for me sometimes to listen to the synthetic voice. But like you were saying, Stephen, they're getting so much better. It used to be very hard for me to sit and listen to an ebook with a synthetic voice because it was so robotic. But it's getting better. And I'm getting to a point where maybe I'm not as snobbish on it as I used to be. I still prefer a real live person reading an audiobook. But in a pinch, if I have to, I'm not as opposed to listening to that electronic voice as I used to be.
Well, Billy, thanks for your email. As always, Dave has been in touch. He says, hi, guys and girls. Just want to say how much I enjoy the show. Also, I would like to tell you about a brilliant product I just purchased from Amazon. It's a speaker for the Echo Dot, and it's called Dox, D-O-X. The speaker looks like, well, the Echo Big, as he says. I like how people are now getting my branding into this.
That's your fault.
See what you've done,
Steve. See what I've done here?
Yep.
It is stereo with a built-in subwoofer, and it sounds fantastic, and I would say better than the original full-size Echo. Wow. It also has a built-in rechargeable battery, which gives you about 6 hours battery life, so you can unplug it from the mains, move it around the house, garden, if your Wi-Fi is good enough. The Echo Dot sits on top of the speaker and has all the various connection leads. On Amazon, it says you need to buy batteries, but you don't, so not quite sure why they say that. When I purchased it, it was on sale for £40, reduced from £60. He says, I thought you and your listeners would like to hear about this amazing product. And if you're interested, there is a link he sent us, which we'll stick up on Twitter. But just search for it. It's called the Dox, D-O-X, for the Echo Dot. Keep up the great work, says Dave in Salford. Thank you, Dave.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah,
I want that.
It does.
If the sound is as good as the normal Echo, for what would that be, £40, and say for £80, you've got a really nice sounding smart speaker. That sounds nice. I'm going to look that one up.
Yeah, that'll do me. And finally, from Rebecca Skipper this week, who says, hi, I loved last week's show as usual and found the discussion on low vision very informative. Yes, we did get a bit therapy session on you last week.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, Rebecca liked it. She says she only has some light perception, and she's sent over a rather interesting link, which she thought she would maybe be of interest to us. We did mention tutorials last week. She says, here's a latest completed NVDA tutorial. It covers the latest features and what's new in NVDA 18.1. The website is josephsl.net/tutorials. Nice and simple website. She also says the Elbreel sounds nice that Julie was talking about, but I can't justify the price tag. She's just bought herself a refurbished Lenovo laptop with 8GB RAM and a 256 SSD, which was a little over $400. You did exactly what I did, Rebecca. That's exactly what I did. I bought a second-hand Lenovo ThinkPad, got a 512GB SSD in it, 8GB RAM, absolutely brilliant. She was saying you can get an Orbit reader or a used Braille display and a phone for what you would pay for the L-Braille. And she says, I'm also concerned about how long 32-bit systems will remain relevant. Really good point. But just look at what Apple has done. Thanks, Rebecca. Well, there you go. That is our emails this week. Thank you, as always, for getting in touch. Lots of stimulating conversation there. Get in touch with us, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, if you have a view on the programme. I want to finish with just one extra point. I was just going to throw this in here. We did get into a bit of a therapy session last week with Lydia when she came on the show. Lydia will be back on soon. But Billy Burrell, at the end of his email, just added this in. I thought it'd be a nice way to end the show. He says, when I was listening to this week's podcast, referring to last week with Lydia, he says, I was troubled to hear you all saying that you've met with negative comments or questioning about your site and or lack of it. He says, while I wouldn't condone violence of any sort, I have found that a headlock usually works whenever a member of the sighted community becomes over-inquisitive. I don't condone violence either at all. I don't recommend you do it, but you know, it's all right to just be fantasizing for a moment, isn't it?
A headlock is just a hug.
It's just a hug of the head, exactly. Guys, that's it for our show this week. Tim, Sean, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we'll catch you next time on Tech Talk. Thank you so much. Remember the podcast, get in touch as well on email, and we'll catch you next time.